Chandaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Raja Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Giribhada Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Nitai Gora Haribo, 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 Nitai Gora Haribo. Thank you. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nasta Praeshu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Tamashloke Bhakti Bhavatina Istaki. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 29, Talks Between Narada and King Prachina Barhi, text number 79. Atastad apavardartam bhaja sarvatmana harim pasyam satad atmakam vishvam Stityut patya pyayata Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam stad atmakam vishvam Stityut patya Atastad apavardartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam stad atmakam vishvam Stityut patya apyayata Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam stad atmakam vishvam Sityut patya yapayayata Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam stad atmakam vishvam Stityut patya payayata Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam tad atmakam vishvam Sityut patyaya vayataha Ladies? Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam tad atmakam vishvam Sityut vatpatyayataha Atastad apavadartam Bhaja sarvatmana harim Pasyam tad atmakam vishvam Siti upatya parayataha Atar. Therefore, tat, that, apavada artam, to counteract, bhaja, engage in devotional service, sarva atmana, with all senses, harim, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pasyan, seeing, tat, of the Lord, atmakam, under the control, vishvam, the cosmic manifestation, stiti, maintenance, utpati, creation, apyaya, and annihilation, yataha, from whom? Translation, you should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Self-realization, understanding oneself as Brahman or spirit soul, is very difficult in the material condition. However, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal himself. In this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. We cannot see anything in the darkness of night, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world as well. Lord Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 7.1, Maya sakta mana parata yogam yunjan mar ashrayaha asamshayam samagramam yatag yasyasi tachchunu. Now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. When we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of God and maintained by him, annihilated by him, and absorbed in him. We are also part and parcel of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in his transcendental loving service. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivase Sasunivadi Prasthachati Satarani. So the translation again. You should always know that this cosmic manifestation is created, maintained, and annihilated by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation is under the control of the Lord. To be enlightened by this perfect knowledge, one should always engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. So here, this is a very nice verse, basically saying how by engaging in devotional service to Krishna, then we can know and understand and realize how everything is coming from Krishna. This Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada actually coined this term, Krishna consciousness. It's conscious of Krishna. actually from, I just came here 2 days ago after being away from here. Since I was here 2006, and I can't believe how everything has changed so much. But everything is so surcharged with Krishna consciousness. This is what we're supposed to be doing, thinking of Krishna. And here we have this opportunity, practically wherever you look, it reminds you of Krishna, different pastimes of Krishna. And this is what we should be thinking of, and how everything is created by Krishna. We can see so many, we can get so many realizations just from this one project of Krishna consciousness. How, first of all, how did it even happen in such a short time? Krishna is the creator, the maintainer, the annihilator of this whole cosmic manifestation. Krishna can do anything. So for Krishna to manifest this place is not any, it's not difficult. But it's not, Krishna has to work through us. Prabhupada says that books are the basis, so everything has to be, of course, based on the books. Utility is the principle. Everything, we have to learn how to use everything in Krishna's service. Now here, you're recycling the water. You're using everything. You're using the plastic. You're using everything to ultimately in serving Krishna. So utility is the principle. Preaching is the essence. So you have this you have so many places for people to come and to learn about Krishna consciousness. This is the preaching, is the essence, and purity is the force. This is the main thing I can see here, is that there are so many pure devotees here, and that's why this whole place is manifested, because without the purity, nothing can get accomplished in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna can do anything, but he works through his devotees. And the purer we are, the more he can get accomplished through us. So much was accomplished here in such a short time. So we can see that there are so many pure devotees here and working for this project. So I'm going to go back to the purport a little. Realization, understanding oneself as Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi, I am spirit. So this is, many people say I am spirit, but I am spirit is just not enough. What does it mean, I am spirit? It's actually, Srila Prabhupada says that we're little fragmental parts and parcels of Krishna. We are the spirit soul, eternally, simultaneously one and different. So the part, of course, is meant to serve the whole. And this is what we're seeing here. We have so much, and it's all for preaching. Prabhupada's whole mission is a preaching mission. It wasn't because he wanted to come and visit America that he came to America and see. At one time in MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. And Prabhupada gave a lecture there, and there were some Indian students there who were kind of challenging Srila Prabhupada. Most of all the devotees at that time were Westerners. I remember, because I was going to the New York temple. I joined in Boston, but I was started in New York. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj was there. And then I always remember, he was like the only Indian person I saw as a devotee in those days. And I actually looked it up, and he was actually the first, other than one disciple he made in India before leaving for America, he was the first Indian disciple in ISKCON. And so these some students were challenging Prabhupada about that Prabhupada, he's a beggar. You come here, you're begging. You're begging. He said, no, I've come as a giver, and I shall remain a giver. You've come as beggars, begging technology, and you shall remain beggars. He also, another one was challenging that it's all one, everything is one. And Srila Prabhupada took him by his collar and says, if it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton swab instead of a cotton shirt? It's all one. So Prabhupada came as a preacher, and that's what this movement is. It's a preaching movement. It's not just for one person to sit and chant. Prabhupada also says, you don't know how happy I was in Vrindavan. Living in Vrindavan, you might look at it materially, and it's definitely, he had it way better, and of course not when he first went to America, but after some time. But he was so completely happy and satisfied. Because a devotee's not looking for material comforts, he's just depending on Krishna. Whatever Krishna gives him, he accepts. And when Prabhupada first came to America, Krishna didn't give him very much of anything. He struggled so hard. He got his typewriter stolen. I mean, he's using his typewriter for Krishna, and Krishna has let somebody steal it. He made his life so difficult. He had no support from India. You know, none of his god brothers, none of the temples, no one can support him. And he just struggled and did this for over a year and didn't give up. And why didn't he give up? Because he understood that you can't separate the instructions from the spiritual master from the spiritual master. His instructions are the same. So he was instructed at the very first meeting to preach to the English-speaking people. And then the last letter, he wrote a letter to Bhaktisiddhanta that, you know, there were so many sannyasis, they're all doing this service. You know, I'd like, what can I do to please you? And he gave him the same instruction to preach to the English-speaking people. And then right after that, Bhaktisiddhanta passed away, just a couple of weeks after that. So he understood he has to make that effort. He didn't know how. He didn't know where to go. He didn't know anything, what to do, but he tried. He made that effort. Similarly, just in here, you know, actually, from my understanding is Radhanath Swami has this vision, and he's practically making this vision a reality here of how you can see Krishna everywhere. And it's certainly a preaching movement, and certainly so many people from India and even from the West are coming here and learning about Krishna consciousness and not being discouraged but being encouraged. This is what Prabhupada wanted for spreading Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada started his first temple in New York, and from there, then his disciples, he sent them. It's funny, but with Mukunda is going to India. And he's stopping in California. And he says, while you're in California, maybe you can open one center. And Mukunda is thinking, you know, yeah, Srila Prabhupada. He's thinking, why is he asking me to open a center while I'm in California? Because I'm going to India. He's just stopping there for a few days. But on his way, he met, who later became Shama Sundar. And then they went with him in the vehicle to the rest of the way to California. And Shama Sundar got so inspired. He wasn't initiated at the time, but he got inspired. And he said, why don't we open up a center? And they never went to India. They opened the center just by one little instruction. I saw that Prabhupada was doing everything for Krishna. He was just giving his whole life, everything for Krishna. And Krishna wanted to reciprocate. And Prabhupada didn't want anything material. All he wanted was to spread Krishna consciousness. And Krishna just helped him. And that's what pleased Prabhupada. So it was a constant competition or reciprocation where Prabhupada's doing something to please Krishna and Krishna's making arrangements to please Prabhupada. And the only thing that would please Prabhupada is spreading Krishna consciousness. So he made all these arrangements, and so many people helped him. And that's what this movement is all about. And that's what this whole project here is all about. Okay, I'm going to just continue a little bit with the purport. However, if we accept the devotional service of the Lord will gradually reveal himself to us. So this is the process. We accept devotional service. I remember in Atlanta, I was in Atlanta, Srila Prabhupada was giving class. Actually, I was standing right behind the Vyasa sign because in those days we worked really, really hard and we didn't sleep so much. And if I sat down, I would fall asleep. So I stood up. I was right behind Prabhupada. And someone asked the question, if your body is engaged in serving Krishna and you die, do you go back to Godhead? And Prabhupada started to reply, explaining, he's quoted, Bhumir apo nalo vayuka mano buddha evacha ahankara iti ame bina prakriti astada. And he started explaining about the different... I was thinking, when Prabhupada started answering, that he didn't understand the question. Because to me, it was a simple answer, like a yes or no. But he explained it in a really nice way. He explained basically how we have two bodies. Now, if you weren't listening carefully, you may have just accepted I'll explain. But he said, basically, I'm making it shorter. You have a gross material body. You also have a subtle body. And he explained all that. And then he said, so if your body is engaged in serving Krishna and you die, you'll go back to Godhead. And I think for most people who were listening, because it was a little tricky, you really had to listen carefully, would have just thought that if your physical body was engaged in serving Krishna, you'll go back to Godhead, which is very possible, because you get some special mercy by your sincerity. But the way Prabhupada explained it is your subtle body, your mind, your intelligence, you start out engaging in devotional service just basically with your physical body. But then it has to go beyond that. You have to go further. You have to start engaging your mind in seeing everything in relation to Krishna, which goes back to this place and makes it so much easier here to do that than in other places. But that's what you have to engage, your mind. You have to think a certain way to that you're always seeing Krishna everywhere, Krishna's energy, and you're depending on Krishna's mercy. You know, there's this things in order to surrender. You have to feel completely dependent on his mercy, whatever he gives me. When Prabhupada was here, he didn't get anything material, but he still depended on his mercy in the beginning. And then he got so many material things, and he just used everything in Krishna's service. Utilization is the principle. Whatever you get, you utilize for Krishna. So we have to just try to not just engage. We have to engage our physical body, and that's the beginning. But here in the verse, you should always know that the cosmic manifestation is crazy. Okay. Consequently, everything within this cosmic manifestation under the control of the Lord. Then it says to be enlightened by this perfect knowledge. To be enlightened by this. One has to engage himself in the devotional service of the Lord. And that devotional service starts with just physically doing something. There's even a gyata sukriti, people who don't know anything about Krishna consciousness. They do something for a devotee. They do something for spreading Krishna consciousness, even not even knowing that's what they're doing. And they benefit for that spiritually. So as much as we can engage, at least engage our physical body. Then as we're doing that, Krishna helps us more and more to go further. You know, he's not so satisfied with just that. Now you have to start doing it and thinking properly. I mean, if we can learn how to think properly, then our life will be perfect. Proper thinking is seeing everything in relation to Krishna, because everything is in relation to Krishna. And it's this whole false ego business of seeing it any other way. So Krishna does reveal to us, as we surrender unto him, he rewards us accordingly. So by that surrender, he shows us how he's controlling this material world, how everything is going on by his mercy. And if we are surrendering to him, he will reciprocate with us and give us a different realizations. And then we want to surrender more. But we have to also surrender our mind to Krishna. So in this way, the progressive devotee will gradually realize his spiritual position. We cannot see anything in the darkness of night, not even our own selves. But when there is sunshine, we can see not only the sun, but everything within the world as well. And Lord Krishna explains in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, "Now hear, O son of Prita, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me," that's the point again, full consciousness of me. We have to be conscious of Krishna. "And mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt." So we have to be conscious of Krishna in all activities, and for the results just depend upon me. Work always under my protection, and in such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. So again, we have to be fully conscious of Krishna and depend on Krishna. We have to depend on Krishna and have no other. No, we shouldn't depend on anything else. We're just depending on Krishna. Because even things that happen materially, you know, that are happening for us, Krishna's providing that. We should see it's coming from Krishna. It's not coming from this or from that. Krishna has sent this person to help me. We should see that, because that's the reality of it. So, when we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. So this is coming from above, like when it's in darkness, you can't see anything. When there's the light, you can see yourself, plus you can see everything else. So here, when we engage in devotional service, which everyone here is doing to different extents, to become Krishna conscious. Also, that's why we're devoting. This is nice too. When we engage in ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord to become Krishna conscious. So some people, it's pretty rare, why would anyone engage in devotional service for some other motive? But someone might. So they're not going to get the same realization. You know, someone might be engaged because it's a nice material facility, it's better life than I had otherwise, so I'm doing it. They'll eventually get purified even if they're doing it for that reason. Whatever reason, whatever gets you to surrender to Krishna is going to purify you. Sometimes we may not be motivated so purely, but it doesn't matter. That just like Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom greater than his grandfather. So he was motivated to get this. But ultimately, when he did get, when the Lord appeared before him, he said, "I want," the kingdom was, his grandfather was Brahma. So the kingdom was greater than this whole, the whole universe. And he wanted a kingdom greater than that. And then when he saw the Lord, he says, "I was looking for broken pieces of glass, and now I found the precious gem." So his motivation wasn't pure. Our motivation may not be so pure, but we do want to become Krishna conscious. And we may have some other, we may be motivated for, once someone asked Srila Prabhupada, should we want to go back to Godhead? Because Lord Chaitanya says he didn't care, just as long as he's engaged in devotional service. And Prabhupada answered, you are not Prahlad Maharaj or Lord Chaitanya. You should want to go back to Godhead. So wanting to go back to Godhead may be a personal motivation. It doesn't matter. It's a pure, why we want to go back to Godhead, so therefore we're working so hard. If that's what keeps us working so hard to become Krishna conscious, then it's good. So whatever motivates us. I mean, wanting to go back to Godhead is certainly not a bad motivation. But it's still something for us. I want this. Lord Chaitanya said, "I don't care. I'll take birth again and again and again, just as long as I'm serving you. That's all." So that's a higher principle. But we're not up to that. So we should want to go back to Godhead, and we should do what we have to do in order to go back to Godhead. And that's engage in devotional service. So those who are engaging in devotional service to become Krishna conscious, which I'm assuming is everyone here, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. I remember when I was a new brahmachari, Sahotra, Sahotra Swami, I don't know if any of you know, he passed away. He was a brahmachari at the time. And I remember asking him about something about how do we do this, should we chant Hare Krishna? He said, there are 9 processes of devotional service. You can take shelter of any one of those 9 processes. You know, so if you feel like you're falling in Maya, you could chant Hare Krishna. You can hear about Krishna. You can serve Krishna. You can do something. There's 9 different processes of devotional service. And if you engage in any of them, that will put you back onto the spiritual platform. So we have to see everything as related to Krishna. And that's Krishna consciousness. You know, there's everything is Krishna's energy. You know, it's either Krishna or Krishna's energy. There are certain things like his name. He's not different from his name. He's not different from his paraphernalia. He's not different from his entourage. He's not different because he's absolute. That's what absolute means. So when you're saying his name, Hare Krishna, you are associating personally with Krishna, and by that association, you become purified. So we have to see everything in relation to Krishna. And that's the pure state. Prabhupada saw everything as coming from Krishna. And everything should be utilized in Krishna's service. And he was so patient. We have to be enthusiastic and patient. He was certainly enthusiastic and he was very patient. He kept trying. He didn't give up. You know, that's how you get some things done. I'm sure I wasn't here for this whole building of this place, but I'm sure there were so many really, really difficult things to thinking maybe it's not a good idea to do this. But if you just, and you guys did, you kept with it. You just kept doing what you had to do to make this a success. And you're still doing even more. And that's what you have to do. Don't give up. Krishna will see. You just try. I mean, you try something. Prabhupada didn't give up. He knew without a doubt this is what he should do because his guru said so. That was it. He didn't need anything else to know this is what he should do because his guru told him that, so he stuck with it. And that's at 70 years old. From 70 to 71, he just had nothing, and he just kept trying and trying and trying. And part of that is not because Krishna wanted him to suffer or he wasn't pure or anything like that. It's just show what the pure devotee is like and how we should be that determined to do it. First, we have to become convinced this is what I have to do. And then we have to have that determination. Nothing's going to stop me from doing it because I know without a doubt I should do this. You know, so we have to become that convinced about Krishna consciousness. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. Once we know everything related to Krishna, we can see, I mean, at least in the beginning stages, that I'm the soul. This is very difficult for people to understand. We understand it theoretically. I'm the soul. Shastra Chakshus, seeing through the eyes of the scripture. So I can see I'm the soul. So how do I see I'm the soul, but I don't think that way. I think differently. But I have to, like if you're in a play, anybody here, how many people here have ever been in a play? A drama? Okay, some of you. Anyway, when you're in a drama, because I used to be in a lot of dramas years ago. but like in Chicago, we would put on a drama every week. We do it in Boston every week, every Sunday we'd put on a drama. And we'd have, and we, and that's not like our engagement. Our engagement was sankirtan, doing everything. But during milk prasadam, those who were in the drama would go upstairs and practice the drama. So we'd make some sacrifice, or we might take some milk real quick and then go and practice. So it's not like that was a job. You know, that was just an extracurricular activity. but if you're in a drama, if you're Narada Muni, you have to think that I am Narada Muni. And you don't think it like you're an illusion, like I'm really Narada Muni, like why aren't you following what I say? but for the play, so you know, but you have to think that way. Or if you're Vishnu, or if you're Krishna, you have to think I am Krishna. Now, in reality, you know you're not Krishna. You're not that, you're not like some people who think they actually are. But for the play, so for the drama, so even for the spirit soul, I'm a spirit soul. I'm a spirit soul. How am I supposed to act? I'm a spirit soul in this body. How do I use this body in Krishna's service? So in that way, that's the reality. So now in this part of the play, you're actually, that actually is who you are. So you're just trying to play your part. So that's the beginning, is I am the spirit soul, and I have this body, and I have to use this body as an instrument for Krishna, because that's what I do as a soul. Now, then we eventually come to the point of knowing what our constitutional position is as I'm a gopi, I'm a parent, I'm a friend of Krishna. That's very, very advanced. But at least for us now, we should just try to think of how I am the soul and how should I act? How should I use this body as the soul? How should I think as the soul? And if we do that, that's Krishna consciousness. And that's seen through the eyes of the scriptures and trying to practically apply it to our life. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintained by Him, annihilated by Him, and absorbed in Him. It's like there is actually only Krishna. Everything that happens to me is done by Krishna for some particular reason. Sometimes it's very nice things happen. Sometimes things may not be so nice. But in either case, it's Krishna's mercy. We have to see everything is coming from Krishna, and it's to help me to surrender to Him. I mean, sometimes we're burning off some karma, but ultimately it's to help me surrender to Him. And Krishna doesn't give us anything, any test that's too hard for us to pass. So we have to just be determined. We are also part and parcel of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in His transcendental loving service. So that's what it is to surrender. Like if you love someone, you serve them. You know, if you love your parents, you serve them. You love your husband, you love your wife, you serve them. You love your children, you serve them. Sometimes serving them, you may have to, you know, chastise them, you know, your children, to correct them. But that's the way to serve them. Even Mother Yashoda was thinking they have to, you know, correct Krishna because he's doing some naughty things. And how's he going to grow up, you know, if he's, you know, if we don't train him? So she binds him to a mortar so that he can learn. This is the wrong. First she had a stick, and she saw he was really afraid of that stick. And he was really afraid of that stick. You know, you think, well, God, it's just like he's playing, you know, like in a play. He's not really afraid. Like in a play, somebody comes with a stick and you might act, but you're not really afraid. You're just acting afraid. Krishna wasn't acting afraid. He was afraid. That's how he, Yogamaya, makes all these arrangements. Krishna was actually afraid. So Mother Yashoda had to correct him, but he's too afraid of the stick, so I don't want to use that. It's like yesterday I did a Well, okay, I'm going to reveal. I do magic. But I did a magic show. And this girl, I have this magic wand. When I hand it to her, it breaks. When I have a fan, when I open it up, it's fine. When she opens it up, it breaks. But the girl was getting scared that she broke this stuff. So I told her, it's not, you didn't break it. It's supposed to be like that, you know, because I didn't want her to be afraid. So you have to make adjustments. So Mother Jashoda made this adjustment. So she just bound him up with a rope. Of course, there's a whole, everybody knows the story of all the ropes she had to get. And finally, he was bound by her love. But she's trying to teach him, try to correct him. But she's doing it out of love. She's not binding him, tying him up because she doesn't like him. She loves him, and she's doing it out of love. Otherwise, she couldn't bind him if she didn't love him, because he's the Supreme Lord. So what I'm saying is, this loving service, we have to, when we surrender to Krishna, that's what we do. We engage in devotional service, loving devotional service. And when we do that, then our life becomes perfect. And it's not like it's overnight. I remember when I first joined this movement, I was, what I thought, and even what I look at myself now, was like really surrendered to do anything and everything. Because I was thinking in like, you know, maybe 6 months or maximum a year, I'll be a pure devotee. But it's taking a lot longer. So you have to really be determined. You just don't give up. You just keep trying. But you're making progress. You definitely make progress. You know, sometimes it's imperceptible. I remember in the beginning, I was in New York. This is in 1971. I started going to the temple, and I was not supposed to use the word hippie, but I guess I was a hippie at the time, and I didn't have a job, so I wound up going. Actually, I went to 3 Sunday feasts, and the 3rd Sunday feast, Bhadraj, I don't know if anyone knows Bhadraj Das, but he took me to the press. They had the ISKCON press, and he showed me around, and then they needed help. So I started, anyway, I wound up going every day to the temple. I started chanting 16 rounds a day, going every day to the temple, working there all day. Then we go on Hari Nam on 42nd Street, Times Square. And there's 3 vans would fill with devotees. And we go out and we chant for about an hour. And then the vans come back and pick up the devotees. And then I would get on the subway and go home. And I remember when I was doing that, I remember I felt so high, so spiritual. From just one full day of service and Harinam. And then I go in the subway, and then I start to see that, you know, I'm like coming down a little bit. And I'm thinking, these devotees, they don't know how high they are because they never stop. I stop and go on my way, and they just keep going. It's like 24 hours a day. They don't realize how elevated they are. And I had that. That was one of my first realizations in Krishna consciousness, and it was so wonderful. So I wound up doing that for 3 months every single day, and then I moved to this in 71. I moved into the Boston Temple, and Vanamali is now the president of the Boston Temple. it was very austere. But it was fun. It didn't matter how austere. It was freezing. You guys think you're cold here. It was so cold. And we'd go on Hari Nam for 8 hours in the freezing snow, cold, 8 hours a day of Hari Nam. But we were we danced a lot to try and keep warm, but it was blissful. Everyone was happy. It's like, how can you do this? You give up all the things that make you happy, and then you become happy. It's Krishna's mercy. Prabhupada said, you know, just stop doing this, stop doing that, and then do this. And it works. So we're all working in that way. I'm sorry, I'm going on too long. Is anyone have any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. Can you please elaborate on the last statement you made?
Wait, here it's too much noise. I can't.
That we give up all the things which makes us happy, and that's how we become happy.
Oh, no illicit sex, no gambling, although I really didn't gamble, except speculate. I definitely speculated. No intoxication. Come on. How are you going to be happy without that? No gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating. Well, the meat eating, actually, by Krishna's grace, I took a 1 year. I spent hitchhiking. You know what hitchhiking is? All around America, everywhere for 1 year. And I, during that trip, I was trying to understand the purpose of life. That's what my goal was. I had no idea. I did believe in God, but I certainly never didn't know about Krishna. And in that year, somehow God told me that I should give up eating meat. And I gave up eating meat. So I didn't do that. But the other things, this is the material world. You know, the four regulated principles are pretty much the pleasure people derive in the material world. That's it. I was just in Vrindavan. Jayadvaita Swami gave class, and then he talked about. Well, I asked some question, but he was answering a question different. Whether it's a democracy, whether it's communism, people they'll just work like anything, do anything, and as long as they can have their sex. He said something like that. So that's in the material world. This is the greatest pleasure in the material world. But you can't be happy with that. But if you can give it up, then you could actually be happy. You know, and not just give it up. But if you give it up and replace it with Krishna consciousness, you add, even when we preached in America, we never told anyone to stop doing these things. We just said, add this to your life. Add the chanting of Hare Krishna to your life. Because once you start chanting, then it becomes easier to give up these other things. So that's what it was. Prabhupada didn't tell anyone to any regulated principles until they asked, is there any rules that we should follow? And then he wrote the four regulated principles. And then they thought, well, what are we going to eat? We can't have eggs, you know. We can't have, you know. You know, I think they regretted asking Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada never told them that's what you should do. He let them come. When they got purified enough, then they asked. And then he told them. And there's so many things where Prabhupada was so patient and not looking down at them. The reason all the devotees became devotees was because of Prabhupada, not because of what the Shastras say, not because of what, you know, who Krishna is, Radharani. We didn't know anything, but we knew Prabhupada, and everyone loved Prabhupada so much they'll do what he wanted them to do because they wanted to please him. And when they pleased Prabhupada, they were, you know, it makes you really, really happy. So it was really just Prabhupada. And we still are that way. We have to try to please Prabhupada. You know, not that we don't care about Krishna, but we know what Prabhupada is saying is what Krishna wants us to do. But we didn't know much at the time. Okay.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, my question is, if Maya is very powerful on you, okay, like the first four things you mentioned, you have to control. How to gain control over her? How to overcome it and move in the spiritual direction?
Well, what is it? Krishna says that this material, this energy of his, this illusory energy, is difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. So we really have to look at the positive and surrender to Krishna. Don't worry about how I'm going to give this up and give. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do this. That's all you're thinking about. But what I can do, the positive, surrender to Krishna. Krishna wants us to chant. Prabhupada wants us to chant. So we just chant. We just do. We take shelter of Krishna somehow, and then those things will be easier to go beyond. By Krishna's mercy, by Guru's mercy, it can make it easier to follow the regulated principles. It makes it easier. So we just have to think of the positive of how to do the right thing, and that will help.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so I think I don't mind going further, but it's up there. If anyone else have a question? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the lecture. I had a question that how much should we fear, or should we fear if we are following or not the principles and all that? Should we become obsessed, or what is that level where we could understand how much we have to monitor ourselves? Should we get consumed by fear?
No. We should be afraid of falling into Maya. We should be afraid of falling into Maya, because that will protect us from falling into Maya. So we shouldn't be afraid of anything, because like Prabhupada's name, Abhay Charan, you're fearless, having taken shelter at the lotus feet. So we should be taking shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, taking shelter at the lotus feet of our spiritual master. And we should be fearless in that way, because everything is coming from Krishna. Nothing can happen to us. Was it Prahlad Maharaj? If you want me to die, no one can save me. If you want me to live, no one can kill me. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Whatever you desire is going to happen to me. So we don't have to worry about anything like that. But Maya, we should be afraid of falling into Maya. And so if you're afraid of falling into Maya, then you're going to be taking shelter of Krishna. Krishna, please help me so I don't. You can pray like that. Krishna, please help me so I don't fall into Maya, so I don't get attracted to these things. Help me so I'm attracted to you. We could think like that. But we shouldn't be on the mental platform and just thinking of everything. I can't look at this. I can't look. It's not a negative thing. We have to do the positive. But we should be praying not to fall into Maya. Because anyone can fall into Maya. I remember once they asked Srila Prabhupada, how is it that big devotees fall into Maya? And Prabhupada said, big devotees don't fall into Maya. So we may think somebody is a big devotee and they fall into Maya, but they weren't a big devotee. But Prabhupada says, specifically talking about the American. The American boys and girls are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. You should be afraid of falling into Maya. And we just kind of play with Maya, you know. Let's see how far I can go without being affected. We should be afraid of falling into Maya. Because it's really... But if you're sincere, Krishna will help you. But you should be praying. You should really. It's not like I'm okay now. Maya's right there waiting for us to relax. And then she's going to come in. And she's not going to. It's not gross. It's going to be first subtle. Just a little deviation. Just a little bit. Because that's. And then once you do that, then it's a little bit more. She's got all the time in the world to get you. Just little bit, little bit. So we can't. There's a saying, nip it in the bud. Anybody here know that? Nip it in the bud. So just in the very beginning, soon as it starts, that's when you have to nip it. You have to stop it and take shelter of Krishna. And then Maya can't go. You know, she can't be there. She has a thankless task. She has to keep, make sure no one goes back home, back to Godhead, unless they're really ready. And so she's going to keep doing this. But eventually, when you actually come to the pure Krishna consciousness, always thinking, then she'll serve you. Then she'll serve. She says, Prabhupada says, she sits with folded hands ready to serve you. But we're not up to that yet, so, yes.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, you said that you thought that you will become a pure devotee in 6 months or 1 year.
Yeah.
But it's taking a long time.
Yeah, I don't know how many lifetimes, but right now it's...
So from all these years of experience, can you tell us one point that helped you increase your surrender and one point that we must guard so that we do not fall, that does not become an obstacle in our path to surrender?
Okay, well, to guard, if you're guarding against it, then you're not going to have the obstacle. So, but the first part of your question was of something in my...
In all these years of your Krishna consciousness, right, any one point which helped you surrender more to Krishna?
I can't think of any one thing, but it's every single day. I remember, it's like sometimes devotees think, I'd like to surrender and get it over with. But the surrender is from moment to moment. So you just keep doing it. I have so many different things. I think what happens is Krishna, so many different times, shows me by different things that happen that he's in control and he's helping me. And when I get those realizations, that really inspires me to surrender more. So there's not any one thing I can think of for myself, but it's just so many things. And you just, you get inspired, you get enlivened. You know, this is what I see when, as you surrender, he rewards you. He rewards you with realizations. And then you know you're on the right path, you're doing the right thing, and you surrender more. But it's always, we have to start somewhere. Once we start, just keep going. That's all. I don't know if I didn't exactly answer your question because I don't know any one thing. I never had any one experience that... I had a lot of experiences. I can tell you one experience. Because I see Vanamali's here, so that's why I'm thinking of him. Because I've been the president of Hartford for a long time. And then... Boston, because I'm in, that's part of the zone. I'm a regional secretary. But anyway, the Boston temple president left. This happened twice, and each time almost 2 years. And I became the temple president. So at one point, it was too much for me to run both temples. We had someone who was possibly going to take over the temple. He was recommended by a particular sannyasi, but he came, and I personally didn't think he was qualified. I didn't think he can do it. So I was praying to Radha Gopi Balaba, which are the deities there, that I don't want to interfere with what they want. If they want this person to be the temple president, then I'm fine with it. But I didn't think he's qualified. And I was praying to them and I asked him to let me know if he should be the temple president. And I'm in the temple room by myself. And as soon as I said that, to let me know if he should be the temple president, a picture of Radha and Krishna just fell off the wall. A big big picture. Fell off the wall and hit the chair. And I thought, I think I got the answer. So things, when things like that happen, when I'm talking to deities and something, you know, they tell me something, that is so inspiring. And that didn't happen with Vanamali. That's why he's the president. So that's the test. No, but when you should have a personal relationship with the deities. You should talk to them just like you talk to a person. I mean, you don't have to talk out loud. You can talk in your mind. They can hear you when you're talking to them. And they do. From my experience, they do answer you somehow, sometime. You know, so we have to just, and those things, to me, builds my faith the strongest. And then I want to surrender. I want to reciprocate because they're being so kind to me. And they're answering me. They don't have to answer me. My, you know. But they're answering me. So I want to surrender more. So there are many things like that happen. Not necessarily so dramatic, pictures falling off walls, but there are definitely ways of telling you what they want. I have another devotee told me he wanted to go to India, and he was asking the deities if he should go to India to preach, you know, spread. He's in ISKCON. And he's in the temple, I think it was in New York, and he wanted to know if he should go to India. And when he asked, you know, and he was meditating, he's talking to deities, and then he asked them if he should go. And then he looked at a flower on Krishna's flute, and then the flower fell down. And he took that as a sign he should go. I told him, how did you know that they meant you should go? Maybe they meant you should stay. But he said, I don't know what they meant, but I took it as I should go. But those things, things like that really help for myself and Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's all offer our respectful obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.